this is Chris, and welcome to Adventures in Odyssey, The Truth Chronicles, a special collection of episodes that explore the power of God's truth in our world.
Let me tell you a story. One morning, before her alarm clock went off, Connie Kendall had an unusual dream.
I saw the Lord God seated on a high throne. His train filled the sanctuary. Above him stood seraphs, each one with six wings, two to cover its face, two to cover its feet, and two for flying. And they cried out to one another,
"Holy, holy, holy, Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are filled with your glory."
What a wretched state I'm in. I'm lost. A man of unclean lips who lives among a people of unclean lips. And now my eyes have looked at the King, the Lord God. Then one of the seraphs flew to me, holding in his hand a live coal, which he had taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. With this, he touched my mouth and said,
"See now, this has touched your lips. Your sin is taken away and your iniquity is purged."
Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying,
"Whom shall I send? Who will go to be our messenger?"
And then I answered, "Here am I. Send me. Send me."
Whoa. What was that about?
Whit, are you in here?
I'm in the studio, Connie.
Oh, there you are.
Are you all right? You look tired.
Weird dreams, that's all. What are you working on?
I'm putting together a video presentation for my church.
Oh, about what?
Worldview.
Worldview?
Yeah, your worldview is what you assume to be true about the world. And it affects everything you think and do.
Everything? How?
Well, wait a minute. Let me answer in a different way. You can be the first to try my upgraded interactive kids radio. I finished it a couple of days ago, but haven't had a chance to use it. Do you want to give it a test drive?
Sure. But what do you mean by interactive?
Welcome to Cause and Effect, the game show in which you, the contestant, solve the world's problems through a cunning use of worldview. And now, here's our host, Alex Bechtray.
Hi, thanks for joining us today on Cause and Effect. As always, today's contestants are a varied group, in keeping with our desire to be inclusive and tolerant. First up, we have Senator Kenny Theodore from his beautiful state of Massanutten.
It's good to be here, Alex.
And next to the good senator, we have Big Bear from the popular children's television program Pistachio Plays.
Wish you darnel! It's exciting for me to be here, Mr. Alex.
And our last contestant is a self-avowed Christian from the ever-charming, though unrealistic, town of Odyssey.
She's
here
contestant?
To demonstrate how open-minded our producers are towards ridiculous points of view. Hi, Connie Kendall.
Hi. This must be the interactive part.
You bet it is. Let's get on with the game. It's simple. Now, I'll ask you a series of questions, and you answer them as quickly as possible, knowing that people all over the world will be laughing at you if you get it wrong. The goal is to guide mankind into a self-actualized state of existence through your power and influence, whereas if your answers are wrong, you'll be soundly thrashed in op-eds all over the country. And because we don't believe in absolute truth, the rules are totally capricious and subject to the whims of the winning contestants. Say what when you're ready.
What?
What? Hiddly diddly!
What?
And now, we begin with the first situation. You can see into the future, and you know that unless things change, your neighborhood will be overrun with crime and chaos. Your solution now is to do what? Hit your button when you're ready.
I have
the answer, Alex.
Go ahead, Senator. You were first.
The obvious solution is to raise taxes in order to increase the budget for better education, because we all know that crime is a result of ignorance.
I don't have a button.
Excellent. Big Bear, you were next.
Oobly gaga! Together, we'll create mandatory classes in community awareness so that we'll grow to understand one another, because it's always better to raise a hand in love than to raise a fist in hatred.
Oh, that's beautiful, Big Bear. Wasn't that beautiful, folks?
Yeah,
beautiful. I still don't have a button.
I'm sorry you missed that round, Connie.
But I don't have a button. I didn't even get to answer.
No need to get aggressive, young lady.
Well, do I get to answer or not? Because I don't believe crime is the result of ignorance or lack of understanding. It's the result of sin.
Ouch, wrong answer. Sorry, but we have to deduct 100 points from your score.
We're scoring? Wait a minute.
Oh, how sad, Connie Kindlebindle.
Next question. Concepts of good and evil, rules of right and wrong, are based on human concepts. So, you're having dinner with a cannibal who offers you a hangnail.
Stop it right there. This is ridiculous. Whit!
Now, Connie, you're not being a very good sport. Play by the rules.
That's right, Connie Candle Kindling.
You be quiet.
I make a motion to censor the contestant to my far right.
Connie!
I'll tell you what. Since rules are based only on human opinions, then as a human, I've decided that I don't want to play by your rules.
What?
I'm going to make up my own rules, okay? And here's the first one. To affirm my inner feelings, I want to be the host of this show, and you can be the contestant.
But you can't.
Really? Says who? You? Who put you in charge?
Oh, all this aggression is making me feel nauseous. I think I might make Boopa into a bucket.
The bear's gonna vomit. I'll be in my dressing room.
You're upsetting the other contestants, Connie.
Well, they should be upset. All that fluff they were just saying should make everyone upset.
Oh.
Can we have a more agreeable contestant, please? Cut to commercial.
I didn't enjoy that very much.
But you get the idea.
Well, I think so. What I believe affects the kinds of decisions I make?
That's right. You see, what you assume to be true about your world is part of your worldview. It becomes your reality.
Reality? Those other contestants were from another planet, as far as I could tell.
Were they?
Weren't they?
Well, I'm sure they were answering honestly, based on what they believe about the world, or what they've experienced.
So reality is what we believe and experience?
Well, maybe we should take a look at that. What is reality?
Hey, wait! What happened? Oh, that's my show music.
And now, Candid Conversations with Connie.
What? Now? But I'm not ready. What am I supposed to do?
Just go with it, Connie. Everything's on the cue cards in front of you. And here's Connie.
Hi, and welcome to the show. Where my guests today are Adam, Eve, and Satan? Really? Hello, Adam.
Hi.
Welcome, Eve.
Thank you, Connie.
And Satan.
My, you are a tasty morsel, aren't you?
Back off. Okay, I see from my cue card that we're discussing what happened to you guys back in the Garden of Eden.
A situation that has been completely misrepresented.
Adam, why don't you tell us your side?
My side? Okay, well, there I was, minding my own business, when she decided she was hungry. Just a little nibble, she said.
Now, wait a minute, Adam. My darling, my love. I was browsing, that's all. A little window shopping.
You were looking at the one tree. One tree in the whole place that God said not to touch. And that's the one you were looking at.
It was right there in the middle, and I wasn't planning to eat anything off of it. But then Mr. Sneaky Snake came along and had to stick his little paws
in. Oh, that's right. Pin it all on me, the big, bad, snaky guy. Typical. I show up to do you both a favor, and this is the thanks I get. I could have eaten you both for dinner, but no. I choked back my ravenous appetite to nudge you along on your path to self-fulfillment. Own up to it. Be a man. A woman.
So none of you are willing to admit to what really happened?
What really happened? Oh, you jest. Who knows what really happened?
Well, actually, God does.
What's he got to do with anything?
Well, you'll find out. I understand that we have a clip straight from God's Word, Genesis chapter 3, I believe.
Great.
Now, the serpent was the most subtle of all the creatures that God had made. It asked the woman,
"Did God really say you were not to eat from the trees in the garden?"
Oh, no. He said we may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden. But of the fruit of the tree in the middle of the garden, God said we must not eat it, nor touch it, or we'll die.
No. You will not die. God knows, in fact, that on the day when you eat from that tree, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God himself, knowing good and evil.
So, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that it was desirable for the knowledge that it could give. She took some of its fruit and ate it. And then...
Here, Aram.
Have some.
Sure, why not?
A complete fabrication.
Oh, in what way?
Well, for one thing, I would never dress like that.
Adam.
What?
Be honest now, isn't that how it happened?
Yeah, pretty much.
Eve?
Yes, that's how it happened.
There. That's much better. I get it now. Reality isn't based on our perspective or even our experience of reality. It's supposed to be based on God's reality, God's truth.
Yeah, that's lovely. You know, I'm feeling a bit peckish. Could we all have a group hug?
No. And that wraps up our little segment about reality and truth.
God's truth? You can't handle God's truth. No one can. That's why you create so many ways to avoid it. So many entertainments to avoid His truth. That's why you need me. I'll give you the truth you want.
I'll be quiet.
Kids Radio Theater presents The Private Eye Mystery Theater Show on the air, chronicling yet another case of suspense and intrigue featuring Connie Kendall, P.I.
Me? Is there a script for this? Interactive, he says. Unrehearsed is more like it. Oh, there.
The case began where most cases wind up. In my office. It was a sunny day, with blue skies and nothing to indicate that my world would soon be shattered. I was sitting at my desk with my partner, Leo. Well, we called him Lenny for short. Lenny had a mind like a steel trap, and he wasn't afraid to use it.
Hey, Con, does prestidigitation have one C or two?
Lenny was fond of doing crossword puzzles. Me? I preferred the Jigsaw brand, with really big pieces. Suddenly, there was a knock at the door. Come in.
Are you Connie Kendall, Private Eye?
Who wants to know?
A lot of people, bill collectors mostly.
What about you?
I already knew your name. It was on the sign outside.
So, what can I do for you, Mr.
Meister.
What can I do for you, Mr. Meister?
I lost my truth, and I want it back.
Why don't you go to a dentist?
My truth, not my tooth.
Ooh.
I can't seem to find it. I think it may have been stolen.
Really? So give me a clue. Why would someone want to steal your truth?
Because it was an exceptionally good-looking truth.
Oh? And what did your truth look like?
Whatever I wanted it to look like. That's what made it so good. It was warm and comfortable and big enough to cover any situation.
I got a few blankets like that.
Look, I can't go searching all over town for something that's big, warm, and comfortable. I need details. You got a picture of this truth?
Several. Here's how it looks when I'm at home with my family.
Cute. Is that a bow tie?
Uh-huh. And this is how it looks when I'm doing 60 miles an hour in a 45-mile-an-hour zone.
Terrific.
And this is how it looked last year when I sold my old junk heap car for twice its value to an unsuspecting buyer. They never even asked if I'd been in a major collision.
Clever. What happened in this picture? It's all fuzzy.
This one was taken in a gray area, just outside of my moral code. This was at the philosophy club meeting.
Philosophy? You one of those academic nuts?
Oh, I love those and Hawaiian salads.
I teach at the university, if that's what you mean.
Figures. What do you teach?
Situational ethics.
Got it. So your truth seems to look different depending on where you are, what you're doing, and who you're talking to.
That's right.
So, where'd you last see it?
I think it was while visiting an old friend across town, Reverend Riven.
Reverend Riven?
Mm-hmm.
The pastor of the Riverdale Gathering of the Righteous Assembly?
That's him.
So, you're religious.
Not at all. Fortunately, neither is he.
I'll check it out.
So, Mr. Meister sent you my way.
That's right.
How can I help you help him?
I'd like to ask you a few questions about the truth.
Oh, well, which truth? Whose truth?
Well, call me old-fashioned, but I was raised to believe in something called absolute truth, which everyone believed.
Ah, days gone by. Nobody thinks that way anymore, I'm happy to say.
You happy about it?
Oh, certainly. An absolute one-size-fits-all truth is so inconvenient and impersonal. It's so much better having our own truths, tailor-made for each one of us.
Mr. Meister seems to think someone stole his. Maybe someone in your congregation?
Oh, no. All our people have truths of their own. Perhaps he, misplaced it.
Okay. Any idea where he might have misplaced it?
Well, I know he went to the library before he came to visit me. That would be an easy place to lose the truth. All those books filled with different truths lying around, you know.
Got it. Thanks. At the library, I was helped by a very kind librarian.
I'm sorry, young lady, but I searched the lost and found and couldn't find Mr. Meister's truth.
Huh. Where did Mr. Meister like to hang out? I'll look around there.
Oh, he wandered all over the library. He was always on the lookout for new truths to add to his own. You could say that he was an open-minded man.
Isn't that just another way of saying that he's empty-headed?
How clever.
Let me get something straight. You say he built on his truths here?
Well, everyone does. That's what a library is for.
But where is everybody getting these truths in the first place?
Lately, I have noticed almost everyone talking about the programs they see on the National People's Communications Network.
I've heard of it, but I never watched it.
Oh, you should. It has wonderful programs.
Lots of different truths, no doubt.
Plenty for everyone. Come to think of it, Mr. Meister consults with them. He may have left his truth there.
Thanks. Do you have an address for this National People's whatever it's called?
It just so happens that I do.
The National People's Communications Network. Teaching children and adults for years. Funded by our hard-earned dollars, without anyone ever questioning what was being taught. What a great scam. But hey, that wasn't my business. It was enough for me to go in to find Mr. Meister's truth so I could get paid.
Hi, may I help you? Skedaddle, de-wibbled, it's you, the one from the game show.
Big Bear? What are you doing here?
Williker Wallops, I work here. Haven't you ever watched Pistachio Place?
Not if I could help it.
No, there you go, getting aggressive again. Plum pudding pedaddles. Don't you know my fur comes out in clumps when people get aggressive?
Then let's not waste time. A bald bear will scare the children.
Too true.
I need to talk to somebody in charge.
Why?
I'm looking for some truth.
Chino Chickawas, we have lots of truth around here. Anyone can help you with that.
I don't want just anyone. I want the one calling the shots. The big cheese. The head lettuce. The whole enchilada.
Oh, stop. I haven't had lunch.
So, who do I need to see?
Lucy.
Lucy?
That's right. But I'm not allowed to let anyone up there unless...
Let Miss Kendall up.
You're invited. Go on up.
How did he know I was here?
He knows lots of things.
Yeah? Does he know what my favorite color is?
Blue.
I'm on my way. This is where my case took an unusual turn. Not that talking to large bears was usual in my world, but this topped even that. Why? I'm glad you asked. Because when I stepped out of the elevator, who was there to greet me but...
Hello, Connie.
Satan! But Big Bear said your name was Lucy.
That's short for Lucifer. Glad you could come.
This is getting weird. Do you run the National People's Network thingy?
More or less, from behind the scenes. How may I help you? You were using a lot of food-like expressions downstairs. Would you like a snack? Something to drink? Have some pretzels and a soda.
Fine. Thanks. Okay. So, what's your racket here? How's a guy like you go from duping Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden to running one of the most influential broadcasting networks in the world?
I believe you just answered your own question, Connie. I'm in the business of influence. Always have been. I don't make people do things, but I certainly work hard to persuade them along the way.
For example?
Mr. Meister.
What about him?
I've persuaded him that he has his own custom-made truth. Something comfortable that fits him perfectly. When in fact, he has no truth at all.
No truth?
only lies. There is only one truth, and that always points back to the one I won't mention. I can't have that, can I? That's why I have to capture people with lies.
Yeah? And how do you do that?
Look out the window, Connie. You're looking at one giant prison. Everyone there is caught in a web of lies. Lies of my making. Only they think it's the truth. Amusing, isn't it?
Not really. And you're wrong. Not everyone believes you. Some of us still believe in the truth. God's truth.
I'm not listening to you. La 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 la.
Stop that. So, my running around town talking to a bunch of quacks was really a wild goose chase?
Not at all. It wasn't a wild goose chase. It was a trap.
A trap?
You're too dangerous. I can't have people like you running around talking about one truth. You'll ruin my plan. Which is why I concocted this elaborate scheme to get you to come to me.
Terrific. I guess this means I'm not getting paid, am I?
Nope.
Then I'd better make a break for it. Which I would do if I could get my legs to work. What have you done to me?
Your drink was drugged. Soon you'll be too loopy to put up a fight.
Yeah? Then what?
Then you'll disappear, like so many others who have tried to resist me.
I don't get it. Wit would never allow a program into kids' radio where the bad guys win.
That might be true if this were a kids' radio program, but it isn't.
What?
Okay, boys, come and get her.
What do you want us to do with her?
I don't care. As long as it looks like an accident, you remember.
Consider it done.
Though I can't move a muscle to resist, I can narrate. Satan's henchmen carried me into the elevator and hit the down button. I thought for sure this would be my last case. But when we reached the parking garage level, the doors opened, and who was there but...
Put her down, you foul creatures.
Whip!
How are you gonna make us?
Easy.
Wow, Whip. Where did you learn to do that?
Night classes. Here, let me help you to your feet.
Thanks. But I'm confused. What's going on here?
I'm not sure. Something has gone wrong.
With the interactive program?
I have to get you out of here.
You mean I'm not a private eye anymore?
No.
Then what am I?
You're Connie Kendall.
And this is Wit's End, right?
Well, not exactly. Around the corner.
What corner is this? Where are we?
You'll see. I've been instructed to take you somewhere else.
Instructed? By whom?
You'll see. As soon as I get you through this door...
A door? To where?
To here.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are filled with your glory.
Wait a minute. This is my dream. How did you program my dream into kids' radio?
I didn't. Watch.
What a wretched state I'm in. I'm lost. A man of unclean lips who lives among a people of unclean lips.
I know how you feel.
And now my eyes have looked at the King, the Lord God. Then one of the seraphs flew to me, holding in his hand a live coal which he had taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. With this, he touched my mouth and said,
"See now, this has touched your lips. Your sin is taken away and your iniquity is purged."
Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying,
"Whom shall I send? Who will go to be our messenger?"
And then I answered,
"Now this is your moment, Connie."
Mine?
It's a moment we all face as Christians. Will we be messengers of God or not?
I get it now. Here am I, Lord! Send me! Send me! It was all a dream? That whole thing was a dream? Oh, I have to watch what I eat before bedtime.
Connie, that may be one of the strangest dreams I've ever heard about.
No kidding.
Though I like the idea of an interactive kids' radio. I may have to try that.
Well, I'm not big on dream interpretation and stuff like that, but
What in the world was it all about? I'm still shaking from the experience.
Well, you know, throughout the Bible, God used dreams to talk to people. Yours came from Isaiah chapter 6, which we studied in Sunday school not too long ago. So something about it struck you, and it must have worked its way into your subconscious.
I've been thinking a lot about the kids, about all the garbage they see and hear.
I believe every generation faces the same moment that Isaiah did. God asks us who will be his messengers to a world filled with lies. Maybe God used a dream to ask you that same question. Will you say yes, Connie?
I want to, but how can I be a messenger? I don't even know where to begin.
Well, let's figure that out together. And that's where our story ends. For now.